Let's open in Scripture this morning to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. We'll read the entire chapter together. Joshua, chapter 1. The text for the sermon is verses 6 through 9. In connection with confession of faith this morning, one of the men asked me to preach on these verses. Joshua, chapter 1, and we'll read the entire chapter. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness, and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give to them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, Pass through the host, and command the people, saying, Prepare you victuals, for within 3 days ye shall pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which the Lord your God giveth you to possess it. And to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh spake Joshua, saying, Remember the word which Moses the servant of the Lord commanded you, saying, The Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. Your wives, your little ones, and your cattle shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side Jordan, but ye shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and help them, until the Lord hath given your brethren rest, as he hath given you. And they also have possessed the land which the Lord your God giveth them. Then ye shall return unto the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses the Lord's servant gave you on this side Jordan toward the sun rising. And they answered Joshua, saying, All that thou commandest we will do, and whithersoever thou sendest us we will go. According as we hearkened unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses. Whosoever he be that doth rebel against thy commandment and will not hearken unto thy words, in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death. Only be strong and of a good courage. So the text is verses 6 through 9. We'll look at that in detail as we go through the sermon. I won't read that again now, but just call attention to the first words, be strong and of a good courage. That's the main exhortation in these verses. And what a vital word. What a vital word in the day in which we live. For at least these three reasons. One is that Christians are viewed today as weak. They are characterized as weak. And they are even, in some cases, encouraged to be weak. If a Christian stands up and is strong, he's labeled as intolerant. We live in a day, in the second place, in which weakness and meekness are confused, and weakness is portrayed as the virtue. And we must not confuse those two things. Men also, it's vital and important in our day because we live in a day when men are viewed as weak, or men are encouraged to be weak in response to feminism and its influence in society. And so this is a vital word. This is a vital word for you two men who make confession of faith today, that you be strong and of a good courage. There's a text in the New Testament which calls us to this, especially as men. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 13, it says, "Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men," or "be brave like men, be strong." And so there's a special calling here to the men, you as men, to be strong and of good courage. Let's consider these verses this morning under the theme, "Be strong and be courageous." Notice first the necessary command, then second the only way, which is, as you see in the passage here, dependence on God's Word, and then third, the sure foundation. First we have the necessary command, "Be strong and be of good courage." That is a command. That's a command that comes to us. And that's emphasized in the first words in verse 9 when God says, "Have not I commanded thee, be strong and of a good courage?" It's a command not only because it's imperative, it's put in the imperative, "Be strong and be courageous," but God emphasizes it, "Have not I commanded thee?" And the question is, why does God say that? "I've commanded you this." There are at least two reasons. The first is this, that courage and strength are not just a feeling. They're not just something that we stir up inside of ourselves. We feel courageous. We feel strong. No, they're an activity. And we're called to these things. Many young men going into the battle have felt strong and have felt courageous, but in the face of the enemy and opposition have faltered. This calls us to remain strong and to remain courageous in the face of opposition. But the other thing about this being a command that's important is that the command itself from God is effectual to create courage and strength. That is, God gives what He commands. God, by the command, creates the courage. That's the power of God's Word as it comes to us this morning. Augustine said this, "Command what thou wilt, and grant what thou hast commanded." Command what thou wilt. God is the sovereign. God may command what He wills. And then our prayer is, "Lord, grant what thou hast commanded." God commands courage. God commands strength. And we pray, "Lord, grant, give what thou hast commanded." It's by the commandment itself here, which is the Word of God, that God gives us strength and courage. How's that? Well, we would say the strength that we have and the courage that we have as believers comes from the work of the Holy Spirit. And the answer to that is yes. And the Holy Spirit uses the Word as the means to create courage and strength in the heart of the child of God. That's true for all the commandments of God. If God says to us, "Don't take my name in vain," then it's the Word of God itself, which we love, that makes us obey that commandment. If God says to us, "Honor authority," then it's the Word of God itself, the fact that this is God's Word, worked by the Spirit, that creates in us the honor that we must have towards authority. There's a striking passage in the book of Ezekiel and another one in the book of Daniel that are parallel to this passage here in Joshua. And I want to read those two verses now. Ezekiel chapter 24 and verse 14. This verse speaks of the power of the Word of God. God says this, "I, the Lord, have spoken it. It shall come to pass, and I will do it. I will not go back." That's God saying, "I've said something, And so it will be. God says this morning to you men, be strong, be courageous. And God says that will be. Daniel chapter 10 and verse 19. Daniel has been receiving visions, and he said here in verse 17 that there remained no strength in him. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. That's our response this morning to the Word of God that comes to us and says, be strong and be courageous. This is God's Word to us. And we say, Lord, speak this Word, because this Word strengthens us. That's the power of the Word of God. God commands what He wills, and God gives what He commands. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. That's the first thing that I wanted to call attention to here. The second thing I want you to see here in this verse is the repetition of this command. Over and over again, this command is given to Joshua. At least six times. If we turn back to Deuteronomy chapter 31, which is the history immediately preceding Joshua chapter 1, it's Moses, right before his death, giving his final exhortations to Joshua. And so let's see how many times this is repeated. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them. That's the first time. And then verse 7. Moses called Joshua and said unto him, be strong and of a good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give to them. And then again in verse 23, this is the third time. And he gave Joshua the son of Nun a charge and said, be strong and of a good courage, for thou shalt bring the children of Israel into the land which I swear unto them, and I will be with thee. Three times in Deuteronomy 31, and now three more times in Joshua chapter 1, when Moses has died, and God comes and speaks to Joshua. He says in verse 6, be strong and of a good courage. Again in verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. And then in verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. And then he repeats it in the negative, be not afraid, neither be dismayed. And then at the very end of the chapter, the Israelites themselves say to Joshua, only be strong and of a good courage. So over and over, Joshua is hearing this. Be strong. Be of a good courage. We repeat something because it's important. We repeat something over and over and over again because it's important. When our children need to know something, we repeat it to them. This is a method of educating, but it's also important for instruction and correction. We have to hear it again and again, and we have to hear it again and again, because our sinful heart declines from the Word of God. And Joshua needs to hear this again and again. This is an important exhortation and word for him. The main temptation which Joshua faces as a new leader in Israel is, verse 9, that he will be afraid and that he will be dismayed. Just think, he's replacing Moses. You turn back to the last chapter of Deuteronomy 34, and you read this in the last three verses. There arose not a prophet since in Israel like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face in all the signs and the wonders which the Lord sent him to do in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, and in all that mighty hand and in all the great terror which Moses showed in the sight of all Israel. Think of Moses. 40 years as the leader. He brought them out by the hand of God from Egypt. Egypt was decimated, destroyed with the plagues. He brought them into the wilderness. 40 years of wandering in the wilderness. And Moses was patient with the people of God, a meek leader. And Moses had stood in the mount face to face, talked to God, a man of strength. And now he's gone. And Joshua must fill those shoes. And then there's the task that Joshua is given. In many ways, if you think about this, this is quite a task compared to wandering in the wilderness. 40 years of wandering, and Moses was their leader. Now, in verse 6, Joshua's task is this: to divide for an inheritance unto the people the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. This is the land of the Canaanites, and it's inhabited. The Canaanites are there, and they're strong, and they have walled cities. And Israel is ill-prepared and small in number. And what a people Israel are. Fickle, idolatrous, rebellious, lusting after the things of Egypt. And Joshua stands with this great task, and Canaan is full with Canaanites, and he must lead Israel in. What a task. And so God says to him, you see, the necessity of God saying to him, repeating to him over and over, be strong and of good courage. Now it's necessary for us too. Necessary as we live our lives as Christians in the face of opposition. And the enemy, the opposition, is not only the world out there, but the enemy and the opposition is threefold. There's the enemy of our own sinful flesh that we have to confront daily. The evil desires of our sinful nature. Pride, envy, hatred, lust. And then there's the temptations that the world presents to us. And then there is the power of Satan, which is against the people of God. We face a threefold enemy, and God says, be strong, be of good courage. We look at others and we think, well, they're much stronger than I am. I'm ill prepared for this battle. And so God's word comes to us. And God's word comes to us repeatedly. Be strong. Be of good courage. You see this over and over in Scripture. Many familiar passages. Let me refer to some of them. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. David has built the temple, and now his son Samuel is going to follow him in this work in the kingdom. And so David has prepared for the building of the temple, and Solomon's going to do this after him. And so David says to Solomon, his son, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 20, be strong and of good courage, and do it, fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even thy God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou have finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. Well, you think of familiar passages like Psalm 27, verse 14. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Or you turn to Isaiah, and you have Isaiah chapter 40. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Isaiah 41, verse 10. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Over and over, the Word of God comes to us and says, be strong. In the New Testament, you have similar exhortations. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men, be strong. And Paul has to bring this word also to Timothy, who, similar to Joshua, will take up a work in the place of a great leader. And so Paul says to Timothy, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, that is, of strength and of love, and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. So again and again, because God knows not only the work that we face, but our frame, our frailty, he says to us, be strong, be of good courage. Now, what are strength and courage? What is strength and courage? Well, God is not referring here to physical strength and physical might. He's not saying to Joshua, I want you to be physically strong. There's a physical strength that God has created, but that is here simply the, we could say, the picture, the illustration of the spiritual strength that God is calling Joshua to. And the strength of a believer is not judged in his physical ability. You remember Jesus himself, on the night in which he was betrayed, told Peter to put up his sword when Peter took the sword. And Jesus' point was that my kingdom is not established with physical strength, but his kingdom is established by a spiritual power. The opposite to strength and courage are weakness and fear. Weakness and fear. And there's an illustration immediately before this in the history of Israel that helps us to understand that the strength that God is calling Joshua to. The illustration is that of the spies. The 12 spies went in. Two of those spies were Joshua and Caleb. Joshua and Caleb were men who were strong and courageous, but the other 10 spies, you remember, were afraid and weak. And so they said this in the book of Numbers, chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13. They said, the people, be strong that dwell in the land. The cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. But the men that went with him said, we be not able to go up against this people, for they are stronger than we. And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. They were afraid. Now, the book of Hebrews tells us that the reason they couldn't enter into the promised land was because they didn't believe. They believed not. And that's the beginning of understanding what strength and courage are. Strength and courage are not just a feeling that we stir up within ourselves, but strength and courage are, first of all, faith, dependence on God. They believed not, and that's why they were fearful. They didn't trust in the strength and the power of God and the promises and the Word of God. And they looked at the enemy, and they were afraid, and they were fearful. And so that's the first idea that we must understand when we think about strength and courage. It's believe, believe. In the Gospels, this becomes very clear. When Jesus is with his disciples in a ship on the waves and he's sleeping and they're afraid and they wake him up and he rebukes the wind and he says to the sea, peace be still. And then he says this to his disciples, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Because they have no faith, they're afraid. Jesus states that positively in the next chapter, Mark chapter 5, when he's speaking to Jairus, whose daughter has died, and he says in Mark chapter 5, verse 36, be not afraid, only believe. And so we ask the question, what's God's word to Joshua? What's God's word to us this morning when he says, be strong and be courageous? God's word first is this, only believe. Believe, believe. That means believe in God's Word and God's promises, but it means especially believe in the Son of God, through whose Spirit we have strength. So we must put our faith, our trust in God this morning. That was important for Joshua as he went into the promised land, as he faced the enemies, as he had this great task in front of him. The Lord would come and do the impossible as far as a human perspective was concerned. God would do the impossible. But now that faith, we understand that courage is not passive. And we see that especially in the word courage. God says, be strong and of a good courage. Strength is might. Strength is ability to exert force. Strength is the power to withstand. Courage is the use of strength. You can have a strong man who's not courageous. So, for example, you have in Scripture Saul, and he was, we're told, a head taller than everybody else in Israel. He was a strong man. But in the face of the enemy, Saul was afraid. And when Goliath was out there challenging that one come out and fight against him, Saul, with the rest of Israel, was fearful. And then there was this man who was apparently weak. He couldn't even fit in the king's armor, David. And yet he showed himself to be brave, courageous. And so courage is the use of the strength that God has given to us. Our strength is from God. Psalm 46, verse 1, God is our refuge and strength. Paul says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But now courage is the use, the activity of using the strength that God has given to us in the face of opposition. We could put it this way. Courage is simply to go on in the place and in the way that the Lord leads us, depending on Him. That's courage. Go on in the place and the way that God leads, in dependence on Him. Isaiah chapter 43 is another beautiful passage in this regard. Thus saith the Lord that created thee and He that formed thee, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, I have called thee by thy name, thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. God is saying there, go on. Through the waters. Keep walking. And I'll be with thee. Courage is to go on in the way that God lays out before us in dependence on Him. Now that's a necessary command for us. And we see the necessity of it when we think about the many different situations in our life that require strength and courage. Situations that as we face them ourselves, we know we would not be able to go on. Simply to be a Christian requires strength and courage. That's becoming more and more difficult to live and to be a Christian in the world and the society in which we live. The society in which we live is opposed to the morals of the Christian faith, and you stand for the morals of the Word of God. And you're opposed. You're seen as intolerant. You stand for the truth of God's Word. The truth that we confess in this church. That was a part of your commitment this morning as you made confession of faith to the truth taught in this Christian church. You stand for the truth of the Word of God in the Reformed faith. And there's opposition. We need strength. We need courage. We face temptations and we find that we need strength and courage. Temptations with regard to not just sexual temptations, but we covet things. There's temptations with regard to our speech. We want to be dissatisfied and complain about the situation that God leads us in life. And we need strength to overcome those sinful urges. We need courage to fight against them, to hold our tongue from speaking. We need courage from God. I spoke of men. Men being men of strength. Men are called to be leaders. Leaders in their families. Leaders in their marriages. Leaders in the church. We can only do that by faith, by trust, by dependence on God. Our strength is in our faith in God. Well, there are the trials of life that come our way. The psalmist speaks of these in Psalm 102, and he says that God weakened his strength. Psalm 102, verse 23, "My strength was weakened in the way." And he's talking about going through a trial of life, and as he goes through that trial, he finds himself to be weakened. We need strength. We need strength from God. God says, "My strength is made perfect in weakness." We need it, the strength from God, in our daily tasks as we wake in the morning, as we go about our duties and responsibilities. We think of the commands of Scripture that we are to do all to the glory of God, that we are to do our work and labor from day to day, whether we work for an employer that's favorable or one who is, the Scriptures call, froward and evil and might abuse us and use us. We have to do that work as unto the Lord and not unto men. And so we need the strength, we need the courage to do that work as unto the Lord. Well, think about relationships that we live in. We need strength to say, "I was wrong." It takes courage to ask for forgiveness. We need strength to forgive and to trust others in our relationships. That requires courage. And the Word of God comes and says to us this morning, "Be strong. Be of good courage." Now, how do we do that? The only way is through faith. We've said that already. This is the beginning, isn't it? But it's faith in God's Word. The object of our faith is the Word of God. And that's what you see here in the passage in verses 7 and 8, where God speaks of the law. "The law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee." And God says to Joshua, this law is important. This book of the law, he says, "shall not depart from thy mouth." Now, what law does God have in mind here? He has in mind here not just the law of the Ten Commandments, but the law of the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That was the Word of God that Moses wrote down. And if we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 31, we see that this was the last act of Moses to finalize those five books and then to put them in a holy place. And what we see here is that God emphasizes to Joshua the importance of the written Word of God. This is really momentous. This is important. Moses comes to the end of his life and God has had him write out the first five books by inspiration, and these will now be the law, the Torah, the Word of God. The written Word. I say this is momentous because up until this point, God has usually been speaking to His people by direct revelation. But now, He's given to them His written Word. And He says to Joshua, "The law which Moses, thy servant, has commanded, that law which is written down, that is the source of your strength." That word is from God. It's worthy of the attention of Joshua because it comes from God to Moses and from God to Joshua. That word of God is dependable because it comes from God. It is without error because it comes from God. It's a word that will give direction and wisdom to Joshua. That word, we read in Deuteronomy chapter 17, verse 18, is a word that every leader in Israel had to make a personal copy of and be familiar with so that it would be accessible to him. And that word for Joshua and for Israel all throughout her history is sufficient. It's a word that begins with the creation and God the Creator. It's a word that brings the gospel in the way of Adam and Eve's fall into sin, and then God coming with the great revelation of the promise of Jesus Christ, the seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent. It's a word of God that is sufficient in its portrayal of the deliverance of Israel by the blood of the Lamb from the bondage of Egypt. And then there's the regulations of the tabernacle and the sacrifices and you see the gospel coming through in this entire word and law of God that God calls Joshua's attention to here. We have not just today the first five books of the Scripture, but the whole revelation of God in Scripture. And it is a weak leader, who diminishes the authority and the inspiration of the Word of God and criticizes the Word of God. God is saying to Joshua here, be strong and be of good courage. And this is how you do it, Joshua, by extolling my word. And there are three things that God says here to Joshua as regards his relationship to the word. The first, in the second part of verse 8, God says to Joshua, Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night. He means that Joshua must keep the word continually before his mind. We have the written word of God today. We all have copies of it ourselves, but that hasn't been the case for Christianity throughout history, and certainly it wasn't the case for Israel in the Old Testament times. And so the practice was this, that the priest or the Levite would stand in the streets and read the Word of God. Or you would go to the synagogue where you would memorize the Word of God. And this way you become familiar with the contents of Scripture. As they schooled their children, they would teach them to read and to write by teaching them from the Word of God. And in this way they would meditate, have the Word of God continually in their minds and meditate on it day and night. This is what God is saying to Joshua. Meditate in it continually. And as you do that, you will understand it more and more. You'll see its depths and riches. It will be readily accessible to you as you face things in your life. Meditate in the law of God day and night. Joshua is going to be a busy man. He's going to have to care for and lead the people. And God says to him, in order to be able to do this, there's no challenge that you'll face, no duty that you'll face, Joshua, that you'll be able to do apart from meditation in my word day and night. So first it must be in his mind. He must think about it. That brings home to us the importance of study of the Word of God and growth in the knowledge of God's Word. Reading the Scriptures, meditating in them. Studying them together with fellow believers, hearing the preaching of the Word of God. We have to have the Word of God in our minds. Not just in a book that sits on the table. Not just in some searchable format on the internet, but something that we read and that we know, that we meditate in. Then second, God says that Joshua must have this law in his mouth. Verse 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. God means that the words that Joshua speaks must be seasoned with his word. The words that Joshua speaks must be seasoned with God's own word. And Joshua must, as a leader, be one who teaches from the word. Now that's interesting because this is not the main task of Joshua. The main task of Joshua is to be a military leader, to be decisive in battle, to lead the troops. And yet, his task is spiritual. And so he must have the Word of God in his mouth constantly. Think of the words that we read in Deuteronomy chapter 6 this morning concerning the law of God. It should be in your heart. And you should talk of it when you rise up, when you lie down, when you sit in your house, and when you go by the way. As we have the word in our minds, it comes from our lips. all of us, each of us, are called to be prophets. God has anointed us to be prophets, priests, and kings. And a prophet is one who is so filled with the word that, as Jeremiah puts it, there's a fire in my belly. I can't help but speak. And so the believer says, come here while I record what great things God has done for me. The word of God must season our speech. Now, we of course understand that to speak the word of God and to witness of the things of God and to speak the truth is going to mean opposition. And so you see the necessity here of strength and courage, and that our strength and courage in the end come from the word of God. Not from our ideas, not from our ability to argue or our opinions or our strength of character. But we rely, we fall back on the Word of God. There's our strength and courage. And then finally, God says to Joshua in regard to the Word that he must obey it. And that comes out in both verse 7 and verse 8. God repeats this to him. He says, be strong and very courageous that thou may observe to do according to all my law. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper. And then in verse 8, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And so God is saying to Joshua, not only must you know the word, not only must you admire the word, not only must you bring the word to others, but you must live it yourself. You must live it with an exactness, a precision, not departing to the right hand or to the left. You must be concerned to do all that is written therein. And so God calls Joshua to an exactness in his obedience and sanctification. Yesterday morning in Bible study, we asked a question. If I'm hungry and I'm going to die, what if I steal to stay alive? And someone said this, we must be ready to die rather than break the smallest of God's commandments. Now maybe that's not the best illustration, but here's the point, isn't it? Exactness in obedience. Then God says you'll prosper. Then God says you'll have success. God means by that that you will be a good leader. You'll be a wise man in my eyes. Be strong and be of good courage by thinking about, by talking of, and by living according to the Word of God. The measure of a man's strength is his relationship to the Word of God. Isn't that the way Martin Luther expressed it at the Diet of Worms? He said, my conscience is bound by the word of God. Here I stand, and I can do no other. God's word. That's our strength. It's because in God's word are the promises of God. And they're the foundation on which we stand in the word of God. And you see, many promises here. Again and again, God says to Joshua, God gives to Joshua these promises. Look at verse 2. He says, arise, go over the Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every soul, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you. In verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Those are all promises that God gives to Joshua. And so when God calls Joshua to depend on his word, to put faith in him, God's calling him to stand on these promises. Not be strong, not find the strength in yourself, but what has God said that he will do? What is God's promise? And that's where we stand. That's our confidence as we go forward in the strength of the Lord. a couple of things about the promises of God. The first is this, that the promises of God reflect the immutable character of God. They have their certainty in the character of God Himself. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? In other words, when God promises, that's sure, because God's character is immutable. And that means that the promises of God are never conditional, they're never dependent on something that we do, but they're amen, sure, in Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 20, all the promises of God are in Him, yea, and amen. The foundation that we stand on is the cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. Because of what Christ has done on the cross, God's promises will be accomplished. And so we stand on those promises. We don't stand in our own strength, but our strength is found on the blood of Jesus Christ. And the promises, be strong and be courageous, that means believe in the blood of the cross and stand in that. There's one promise that stands out here and that stands out in all of Scripture in regard to this command to be strong and of good courage. And that is the promise of God's presence. Twice you find that here in this passage in verse 5, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And then at the end of verse 9, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. It's the promise of the presence, the powerful presence of God. That is our strength. You find that throughout Scripture in Genesis chapter 28 when Jacob is fleeing from his brother Esau and he's all alone. He lays his head down to sleep. God comes with that beautiful vision of the ladder and the angels descending and ascending. And God says, I'm with you. And Jacob calls the place Bethel, the house of God. God is here, he says. Or when David stands before Goliath. David says to Goliath, you come to me with a sword and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. David says to Solomon, as this great task of temple building is before him, God will be with you as He was with me. Hezekiah, when Jerusalem is surrounded by the Assyrians, says to his people, God is with us. 2 Chronicles 32 and verse 7. And so Jesus says, I'm with you. I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Emmanuel, God with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? With us in all of His sovereign power and presence. And there's our strength. We stand on that promise. What is your task? What challenge do you face in your life? Are you building as Solomon built? Are you fleeing as Jacob fled? Are you facing a giant as David did? Are you fenced in by troubles as Hezekiah was? God says, I'm with you. Be strong and be of good courage. We stand on that promise, equipped with the Word of God in the face of the enemy. That's our confidence. And our confidence is this, that our Joshua, our Jesus, that's what Joshua means, has gone before us. He's had the victory. He's overcome the enemy and death and sin. He's entered into the promised Canaan. He's inherited it for us. And He comes to take us, to bring us through, to be with Him across the Jordan. So be strong. Be of good courage. God says, I will be with you. Amen. Father, we thank Thee for this encouraging word that calls us to strength and courage. We ask, Lord, that we may persevere in the Christian life in the face of opposition and the trials and troubles that might come, that we be maintained in our walk and our confession before the world, and that we also may be a strength and encouragement to one another. We pray these things in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen.